Miraculous power of God through intercessory prayer. Anna was a prophetess and a powerful woman of God. The Spirit of God ordained her to witness and prophesy that the baby Jesus was the living Messiah and Redeemer, as Mary and Joseph brought him in to offer him up to the Lord. The scripture clearly emphasized that there was one Anna, a prophetess. She had power over the Jewish system and establishment of organized religion. She was one of a kind who prevailed against human civil laws. God consecrated her by His Spirit. St. Luke 2:36-37, and there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Aser. She was of a great age, and had lived with an husband 7 years from her virginity, and she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. Verse 38, and she coming in that instant gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. Neither age nor gender prohibited her from preaching in the temple, because she was the Lord's anointed. Not many people have power to make intercessory prayer. Jewish culture did not permit women to speak in the temple in that era. At that time, Paul continued to uphold Jewish tradition, culture, and civil law. 1 Corinthians 14:34, let your women keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak, but they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law. After Paul evolved spiritually, he proclaimed, Philippians 4:3, and I entreat thee also, true yokefellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers, whose names are in the book of life. Galatians 3:28, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. Paul articulated to the Roman Christians, Romans 8:2, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Paul emphasized that there were two laws. The Ten Commandment law in which God gave Moses was, absolutely, a spiritual law. Traditions and cultures are human laws. Religious leaders, who did not have the Holy Spirit, could not understand. Mere academics cannot teach the truth. Jesus said, St. John 8:32, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They did not understand how to apply the spiritual interpretation of the law correctly. The Ten Commandments are divine sacred rules of law, an absolute, perpetual, divine entity. Jesus said, St. Matthew 5:17, think not that I am come to destroy the law, or the prophets, I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. Paul wrote, Romans 7:14, for we know that the law is spiritual. St. Matthew 22:29, Jesus said unto them, ye do err, not knowing the scriptures, nor the power of God. God answers intercessory prayers only from His anointed. Paul counseled Timothy in 1 Timothy 2:1-4, I exhort therefore, that, first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks, be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved, and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. The Lord desires for leaders to be responsible for those who cannot defend themselves. However, if they do not respect divine righteousness and justice to plead the causes of defenseless people, the Spirit of God will fight against them. That is God's divine system of justice. Intercessory prayer rules in the kingdom of God. It is the most powerful weapon against wickedness. Abraham made intercessory prayer for Lot, and God delivered him from the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah because of homosexuality. Genesis 18:22-23. Abraham stood yet before the Lord and said, wilt thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked? Verse 32. I will speak yet but this once, peradventure 10 shall be found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for 10's sake. There were not 10 righteous men living for God, only Lot. Genesis 19:29, "And it came to pass, when God destroyed the cities of the plain, that God remembered Abraham, and sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow, when he overthrew the cities in the which Lot dwelt." God answered Abraham's intercessory prayer for Lot. Elisha's intercessory prayer controlled an army of Syrian enemies. The power of prayer was his weapon. They literally went blind. 2 Kings 6:18, "And when they came down to him, Elisha prayed unto the Lord, and said, Smite this people, I pray thee, with blindness. And he smote them with blindness according to the word of Elisha." Jesus articulated, St. Luke 18:7-8, "And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily." Job made intercessory prayer for his friends who incensed God. He served God with a perfect heart. Job 1:8, "And the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God, and escheth evil?" Because of Job's calamities, his friends thought he had sin. His standard of spirituality in holiness was much higher than anyone that was on earth in that era. They spoke against Job. Subsequently, they spoke against God. Without his intercessory prayer, his friends would have died without mercy. Job 42:7-8, "The Lord said to Eliphaz the Temanite, My wrath is kindled against thee, and against thy two friends, for ye have not spoken of me the thing that is right, as my servant Job hath. Therefore take unto you now 7 bullocks and 7 rams, and go to my servant Job, and my servant Job shall pray for you, for him will I accept, lest I deal with you after your folly, in that ye have not spoken of me the thing which is right, like my servant Job." Verse 10, "And the Lord turned the captivity of Job, when he prayed for his friends, also the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before." God commanded them to give a sacrificial offering to Job to cover their sins. After he prayed for his friends, God restored his health and prosperity, and gave him twice as much as he had before. His compassion and love for them when they were wrong, was similar to the love Jesus illustrated toward those who were lost in their sins. However, they repented. Jesus declared, St. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Jesus proclaimed to John in the book of Revelation 2:26-27, "And he that overcometh, and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, as the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father." Jesus demonstrated absolute power, which he gives to us when we pray. He will work miracles to stop and break in pieces the forces of evil. Jesus said, St. John 15:7, "If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you." The preacher, King Solomon, remembered a wise man who interceded for a city to spare it from imminent destruction by a great and powerful king. Intercessory prayer is more powerful than weapons of war. Ecclesiastes 9:13-15, "This wisdom have I seen also under the sun, and it seemed great unto me, there was a little city, and few men within it, and there came a great king against it, and besieged it, and built great bulwarks against it. Now there was found in it a poor wise man, and he by his wisdom delivered the city." Verse 18, "Wisdom is better than weapons of war." Verse 16, "Then said I, Wisdom is better than strength." Although he was poor, God gave him power through intercessory prayer to defeat a rich and powerful king. These scriptures tells of a very perilous time for the Jews. Haman, who was not Jewish, conspired to destroy the people of God throughout the entire kingdom of Ahasuerus. However, God exalted Esther, a Jew, whom Mordecai, her kindred, raised, to a position of great power as the beloved queen. Mordecai reminded her that God ordained her to stand up to intercede for her people, who were Jewish, so Haman could not exterminate them. He spoke to Esther in Esther 4:14, For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place, but thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed, and who know it whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? God obligated Queen Esther to intercede in behalf of her people. Queen Esther said to Mordecai, verse 16, Go, gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan, and fast ye for me, and neither eat nor drink 3 days, night or day, I also and my maidens will fast likewise, and so will I go in unto the king, which is not according to the law, and if I perish, I perish. She did not regard her life more precious than her people's lives. She was willing to risk her life when she interceded for her people in a manner in which it was not lawful. She proceeded to influence her husband, King Ahasuerus, to defeat the wicked devices of Haman, who was a strong enemy against the Jews. God allowed her to be in the kingdom for the deliverance of her people. Haman determined to destroy all Jews. Esther first made her petition to God in prayer. Esther 7:2, and the king said, What is thy petition, Queen Esther? And it shall be granted thee, and what is thy request? And it shall be performed, even to the half of the kingdom. Queen Esther's relationship with God, and her husband, King Ahasuerus, gave her an advantage. Some people are extraordinarily close to God. There is no limitation of what he will do for them against their enemies. The king fulfilled her request. Verse 6, And Esther said, The adversary and enemy is this wicked Haman. Verses 9-10, Then the king said, Hang him thereon. So they hanged Haman on the gallows that he had prepared for Mordecai. Then was the king's wrath pacified. Jesus articulated, St. Matthew 18:6, But whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck, and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea. Intercessory prayers are the most powerful weapon in which God has given to his anointed ministers against the forces of evil, whether it is a person or a nation. Paul reiterated the Old Testament scripture concerning Elijah's prayer against Israel. Romans 11:2, What the scripture saith of Elias, how he maketh intercession to God against Israel, saying. 1 Kings 19:10, The children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword, and I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life, to take it away. God gave Elijah permission to make intercessory prayer against Israel, to stop the rain and dew for 3.5 years according to his word. 1 Kings 17:1, And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. There was great famine in the land, and many of the people of Israel died of starvation. Because of Ahab's false religion and destruction of righteous people who could not intercede for themselves, God sent Elijah to intercede against him and prophesy of his demise, and his wife, Jezebel. After Elijah prophesied that there would be no rain, he went into a solitary place to hide himself from Ahab and Jezebel's demonic forces. He was the prophet to whom God had given special powers and protection against his enemies, who were Ahab, Jezebel, their armies, and their false prophets. They were worshippers of a false god called Baal. Therefore, they could not destroy him. At that particular time when he was hungry, God did not use any human hand to feed him. God said, Psalm 50:12, If I were hungry, I would not tell thee, for the world is mine, and the fullness thereof. When Elijah was hungry, God was hungry for justice. He did not tell any sinful human that he was hungry. He fed Elijah by ravens. The Lord told Elijah, 1 Kings 17:4, And it shall be, that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. Verse 6, And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. God destroyed many who worshipped Balaam by famine because of one righteous man who prayed against an evil system controlled by King Ahab and his wife, Jezebel. Even Jesus spoke of Elijah's miraculous faith and power through intercessory prayer against Israel for destroying the true prophets of God. St. Luke 4:25-26, "But I tell you of a truth, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elias, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, when great famine was throughout all the land, but unto none of them was Elias sent, save unto Sarepta, a city of Sidon, unto a woman that was a widow." Jesus proclaimed, St. Matthew 26:53, "Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels?" St. John 10:17-18. "I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again." Only the Lord Jesus Christ has power over life and death. The Roman soldiers could not lay hands on him until he gave up his power to live. St. John 18:6, "As soon then as he had said unto them, I am he, they went backward, and fell to the ground." He demonstrated his power over life and death. We depend on his breath of life. The New Testament Hebrew writer said, Hebrews 2:14, "For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil." The sacrifice of Jesus Christ for all believers is his everlasting love to redeem our souls from the power and deception of devils. Humanity could not live righteous without his sacrifice. Jesus shut the foolish virgins out of his kingdom. No one has enough morals for salvation. St. Matthew 25:1-12, "Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps, and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps, and took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose, and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you, but go ye rather to them that sell, and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, Verily I say unto you, I know you not. The foolish virgins were not willing to pay the price of self-denial to be holy. They thought that morality was sufficient, and did not repent of their sins. The wise virgins are those who prepared for the coming of Jesus Christ because they obey him, and filled their vessels with oil, which is a symbol of his Spirit. The lamp is an allegory of the words of Jesus Christ. David wrote, Psalm 119:105, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, and a light unto my path." Although the Lord created humanity, he declares that he does not know those who do not have the Spirit of God. Jesus Christ will not accept unregenerate humanity into heaven who does not have his Holy Spirit. Paul said, Romans 8:9, "Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his." Jesus saved the virgins who were born of the Spirit. This is Jesus' intercessory prayer for his disciples and believers of all times. St. John 17:9, "I pray for them, I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine." God has provided special anointed ministers to make intercessory prayer in all times. Jesus did not save unbelievers. They are part of the devil's family who hate the Lord and believers. Jesus spoke to the chief priests and elders of the people. St. Matthew 21:31, "Jesus saith unto them, Verily I say unto you, that the publicans and the harlots go into the kingdom of God before you." Jesus declared that tax collectors and prostitutes, who repented, would enter the kingdom of God before them. The example Jesus displayed concerning Zacchaeus, the tax collector, and Rahab the harlot, exemplifies God's mercy toward those who repent. They repented of their sins and miraculously entered into the spiritual kingdom of God. However, Jesus proclaimed that the chief priests and elders, who thought they were righteous, were lost in their sins because they did not believe in him. St. Luke 19:2-3, and, behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. Verse 5, and when Jesus came to the place, he looked up, and saw him, and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste, and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. Verses 9-10, and Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come to this house, for so much as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. The scriptures recorded Rahab, who was a harlot, among the patriots of faith, because she believed the messengers of God. Joshua 2:1, and Joshua the son of Nun sent out of Shittim two men to spy secretly, saying, go view the land, even Jericho. And they went, and came into an harlot's house, named Rahab, and lodged there. Verse 9, and she said unto the men, I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. The spies spoke to Rahab in verse 18, behold, when we come into the land, thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread in the window which thou didst let us down by, and thou shalt bring thy father, and thy mother, and thy brethren, and all thy father's household, home unto thee. The New Testament was emphatic, Hebrews 11:31, by faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. Moses made intercessory prayer for the people who transgressed against God in the wilderness. The psalmist expounded Moses' intercessory prayer for Israel. Psalm 106:23, therefore he said that he would destroy them, had not Moses his chosen stood before him in the breach, to turn away his wrath, lest he should destroy them. Hezekiah was a righteous king of Judah, who made intercessory prayer against Sennacherib king of Syria, who worshipped false gods. He devised to invade, conquer, and destroy Judah. However, God defeated Sennacherib, and his army, through Hezekiah's intercessory prayer. Isaiah 37:21-36, then Isaiah the son of Amoz sent unto Hezekiah, saying, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, whereas thou hast prayed to me against Sennacherib king of Assyria, therefore thus saith the Lord concerning the king of Assyria, he shall not come into the city, nor shoot an arrow there, nor come before it with shields, nor cast a bank against it. By the way that he came, by the same shall he return, and shall not come into the city, saith the Lord. For I will defend the city to save it for mine own sake, and for my servant David's sake. Then the angel of the Lord went forth, and smote in the camp of the Assyrians 185,000, and when they arose early in the morning, behold, they were all dead corpses. After Hezekiah prayed, God miraculously destroyed 185,000 soldiers. They became sick and died in one night. Sennacherib went to worship a false god, and his two sons killed him. Verse 38, and it came to pass, as he was worshipping in the house of Nisroch his god, that Adrammelech and Sharezer his son smote him with the sword, and they escaped into the land of Armenia, and Esarhaddon his son reigned in his stead. God does not hear sinners' prayer. Sennacherib was a sinner, and God did not hear him because he worshipped a false god. The testimony of the blind man whom Jesus healed on the Sabbath day, a day of rest for sinners from the labor of sin, St. John 9:31, now we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshipper of God, and doth his will, him he heareth. God's anointed are those whom he appointed to intercede to save those who believe his messengers. Zechariah said, Zechariah 4:14, then said he, these are the two anointed ones, that stand by the Lord of the whole earth, both male and female. They are not self-appointed. The New Testament Hebrew writer reiterated, Hebrews 5:4, "And no man taketh this honor unto himself, but he that is called of God, as was Aaron." God does not authorize seminaries to give the Holy Spirit. Paul was clear and emphatic in the New Testament, 1 Corinthians 2:14, "But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." God said to Moses concerning Aaron, his brother, whom God appointed the high priest, Exodus 29:7, "Then shalt thou take the anointing oil, and pour it upon his head, and anoint him." Jesus revealed to John, Revelation 11:3-5, "And I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy. These are the two olive trees, and the two candlesticks standing before the God of the earth. And if any man will hurt them, fire proceedeth out of their mouth, and devoureth their enemies, and if any man will hurt them, he must in this manner be killed." Fire is a metaphor of the power of the Word of God. In the Old and New Testaments, God chose anointed people to make intercessory prayer for believers, and against unbelievers, in all times. 2 Kings 1:10, "And Elijah answered and said to the captain of 50, If I be a man of God, then let fire come down from heaven, and consume thee and thy 50. And there came down fire from heaven, and consumed him and his 50. The Old and New Testaments are consistent. The psalmist wrote of the blessedness of those whom God ordained to make intercessory prayer. Psalm 141:2, "Let my prayer be set forth before thee as incense, and the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice." Abraham's intercessory prayer against Abimelech was another example of one chosen individual's intercessory prayer against a monarch who took his wife. Abimelech and his household became suddenly ill after he took Abraham's wife to be his wife. God stricken them with a deadly plague. However, God showed Abimelech in a dream the reason for his illness because he had taken a prophet's wife. Genesis 20:3, "But God came to Abimelech in a dream by night, and said to him, Behold, thou art but a dead man, for the woman which thou hast taken, for she is a man's wife." Verse 7, "Now therefore restore the man his wife, for he is a prophet, and he shall pray for thee, and thou shalt live, and if thou restore her not, know thou that thou shalt surely die, thou, and all that are thine." Numerous times, the Lord reveals in the Scriptures the extraordinary powers of intercessory prayer by his anointed. Abimelech repented and restored Abraham's wife, whose name was Sarah. Verse 17, "So Abraham prayed unto God, and God healed Abimelech, and his wife, and his maidservants." The Lord displayed his indignation against Abimelech, king of Gerar. If King Abimelech had not repented and restored Abraham his wife, God would have destroyed him, and his family, and servants. God will surely punish those who use their literal powers to take advantage of his anointed prophets and prophetesses. God proclaimed, Psalm 105:15, "Touch not mine anointed, and do my prophets no harm." The psalmist reiterated and revealed, Psalm 110:5-6, "The Lord at thy right hand shall strike through kings in the day of his wrath. He shall judge among the heathen, he shall fill the places with the dead bodies, he shall wound the heads over many countries." The heads are leaders of nations and anyone who is evil and arrogant. The prophets in the Old Testament, and some of Jesus' disciples, chose to be martyrs. They accepted the challenge of giving their lives for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Enoch and Elijah did not literally die. The Hebrew writer in the New Testament was explicit and dynamic. Hebrews 11:5, "By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him, for before his translation he had this testimony, that he pleased God." Elijah talked with Elisha, 2 Kings 2:11, "And it came to pass, as they still went on, and talked, that, behold, there appeared a chariot of fire, and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder, and Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven." God did not choose Enoch and Elijah to be martyrs. The Spirit of God took them both away without going through the process of death. King David was a powerful example of a king whom God did not choose to be a martyr. He fought many battles. God does not choose all of his faithful believers to be martyrs. Psalm 89:20-24, I have found David my servant, with my holy oil have I anointed him, with whom my hand shall be established, mine arm also shall strengthen him. The enemy shall not exact upon him, nor the son of wickedness afflict him. And I will beat down his foes before his face, and plague them that hate him. But my faithfulness and my mercy shall be with him. 1 Chronicles 21:1, and Satan stood up against Israel, and provoked David to number Israel. God did not authorize David to number Israel. 70,000 men died when David numbered the people. 2 Samuel 24:15, so the Lord sent a pestilence upon Israel from the morning even to the time appointed, and there died of the people from Dan even to Beersheba 70,000 men. The angel of death came to Jerusalem to kill David and the elders of Israel. 1 Chronicles 21:15, and God sent an angel unto Jerusalem to destroy it, and as he was destroying, the Lord beheld, and he repented him of the evil, and said to the angel that destroyed, It is enough, stay now thine hand. And the angel of the Lord stood by the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite. God forgave David for numbering the people. He allowed him to make intercessory prayer to stop the plague of sickness and death. He sent the prophet Gad, who told him to build an altar and pray to God that the plague would stop. 2 Samuel 24:25, and David built there an altar unto the Lord, and offered burnt offerings and peace offerings. So the Lord was intercessed for the land, and the plague was stayed from Israel. The lesson David learned when 70,000 men died, was not to put his trust in human flesh to win wars. Those men who died hated David's leadership. God fulfilled his prophetic message and promise to David, Psalm 89:23, and I will beat down his foes before his face, and plague them that hate him. God showed David his miraculous power through the destruction of 70,000 men. God delivered David from death at that time because of his mercy and love for him. God miraculously delivered Peter from prison and death through intercessory prayer. Acts 12:5-11, Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. And when Herod would have brought him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. And, behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side, and raised him up, saying, Arise up quickly. And his chains fell off from his hands. And the angel said unto him, Gird thyself, and bind on thy sandals. And so he did. And he saith unto him, Cast thy garment about thee, and follow me. And he went out, and followed him, and wist not that it was true which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. When they were past the first and the second ward, they came unto the iron gate that leadeth unto the city, which opened to them of his own accord, and they went out, and passed on through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. And when Peter was come to himself, he said, Now I know of a surety, that the Lord hath sent his angel, and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod, and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews. Apostle Peter was a powerful example of faith in Jesus Christ. He gave him power to raise the dead. Acts 9:36-37, Now there was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha, which by interpretation is called Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and alms deeds which she did. And it came to pass in those days, that she was sick, and died. Verse 40. Peter, kneeled down, and prayed, and turning him to the body said, Tabitha, arise. And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. Peter's ultimate desire was to be a martyr for Jesus Christ, and overcome death and hell. He had faith in Jesus' words for eternal life. Conclusion, Jesus' intercessory prayer for his disciples and believers in all times, St. John 17:3, and this is life eternal, that they might know thee the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent.